Welcome to the Lou Catino Show, where we can learn to reimagine our lifestyle.
Good morning, sister. Thank you once again for your precious time. Very, very grateful for all the knowledge you share with us. Sister, today I want to talk about the subject of, because whenever I watch all of your videos and your content that you so generously share with the world, you talk about, is your mind controlling you or are you controlling your mind? And I would love to start off with that beautiful statement today and then lead into the next question, which I really want to spend some time on. So sister, can you take us through that? Because, you know, we keep hearing different things that the mind is impossible to control. At the same time, we hear statements like flow with your mind, no resistance. I know it all comes down to a lot of confusion for some people, but I would love for you to wave your magic wand of simplicity for us on this. Yeah.
There are two worlds, the outer world and the inner world. Yesterday, we saw that inner world is either being. I, the soul. When I, the soul, create thoughts, it's called the mind. When I, the soul, take a decision, it's called intellect. And then the decision that I take, I bring it into karma, which means I bring it into action. And then that gets recorded as an impression. And over a time, repeated similar quality of karma becomes a sanskar. So which means, let's say a child being dishonest for the first time. There is a situation in his academic life and the child creates options of thoughts. Should I tell the truth? Should I hide it? There are options of thoughts. If the child that day takes a decision, no, this time I cannot share the truth, and takes a decision, so the intellect comes into play, takes a decision and hides what was happening. The first time he's told a lie. Few days later, another situation. Again, the mind will create thoughts. Should I not? Second time again, if the intellect takes a decision, it's okay. You know, we got saved last time, so don't worry. Second time again, a lie. Do it 10, 15, 20 times. And then after that, it's become a sanskar, which means it's become my nature that whenever certain things are not my way, I use the easy way out of not being honest. Now, when it is a situation the next time, I will not create thought options. Should I not? The stage of creating thoughts and options is over. And so if I have not created options, the stage of taking a decision is also over. And so I'm just reacting to the situation through my sanskar. And when I'm reacting to the situation through my sanskar, I'm not in the awareness that I'm actually choosing to do this. And I then blame the situation for my reaction. I don't take responsibility that this was my reaction. So for example, creating stress, creating anger, creating irritation, creating hurt. If we had to ask anybody today, who is the creator of your thoughts and feelings? They'll say, obviously, I. What is there to ask in that? It's obvious I. If it is obvious I, then why do I live my life blaming the world for how I'm feeling? Then why do I say I'm stressed because of, and there is a situation there. I'm angry because of. I say so-and-so upset me. This person hurt me. This person insulted me. For everything, I'm putting the finger out. Even if somebody had to ask me, why are you so happy today? I'll put the finger out and I'll say, you know what? Because today, such and such thing happened. So whether it's happy feelings, whether it's uncomfortable emotions, for everything, I'm putting the finger out and I'm saying this and this is the reason because of which I am feeling like this. So for the happy ones, it's fine. But for the uncomfortable ones, I say this and this needs to change. Then I can be happy. Till this and this remains as it is, being stressed and unhappy is normal. And so I chose to start living a life of stress and hurt and irritation. We've reached a stage where we've started calling these emotions as normal. We say it's normal to get stressed. It's natural to get hurt. It's necessary to get angry. So we are calling uncomfortable emotions as normal. It's as simple as calling a disease as normal. You know, there's a disease in my body and I say, It's normal now in today's lifestyle to have high sugar levels. You can't blame the lifestyle and say it's normal for me to have that. I have an option to lead a healthy lifestyle. So we've started calling it normal. Some people even say it's good to have certain amount of stress. Some will say it's good to get angry to get work done. So now, first calling it normal, then justifying it, endorsing it, and then saying it's not possible to live a world without it. So then the repercussions are there for us to see. Now it's no more an emotional health issue. It's translating into a mental health issue. It's radiating to the body, resulting in a physical health issue. And my emotions are which are creating my relationships. So it's affecting my relationships and the world. Even the environment is so influenced by the vibrations that we create. If billions of people create stress, anxiety, fear on a daily basis, nature will get affected. Nature will get affected. And we're still continuing to live. So we need to shift from a life of emotional dependence to realizing that this is not the truth. The remote control of my mind is in my hands, not people around me. So just visualize same situation. Stimulus is what the stimulus is. But my reaction is my choice. And if everyone watching this video takes a 10-second pause right now, close your eyes and think of the last time you reacted or created anger. And now, because we are detached from that scene, if we just reflect and ask ourselves, did I have an option of responding another way? And right now, everyone will be able to see their option. And they will say, yeah, I could have been a little more softer, polite. My vocabulary could have been a little more respectful. We can see all this right now. Why did we not see it that day? Because that day I did not say, I am creating the anger. I said, they are the cause of my anger. And when they are the cause of my anger, I don't even realize that I have a choice over my reaction. So the first homework experiment that we need to start doing from today is whenever there is a reaction, it doesn't matter if I react, that's fine. But don't say it is because of. Just say this was my reaction. You know, take personal responsibility because then power comes back to me. It's my reaction, so I have a choice. But if I say it's because of them, I'm a victim to that situation and to that person's behavior. And once we start living that life of awareness that this is my reaction, second time, at least in typical situations, you know, some situations are very typical situations. They come every day of our life. For example, traveling on the road. Every day, for most of us in bigger cities, there is a traffic jam. On a daily basis, we will encounter someone on the road who's not driving the right way, someone who's there behind us honking when it's not necessary. And many of us have created this habit of creating irritation, using abusive language, reacting within our closed car where nobody's even going to hear what we say, but we are saying it to ourselves. And we said it's because of them. They are not driving right. So just today, keep that as your awareness. I will drive from my A to B destination in control. Awareness that people will not always be my way around me. I will drive the right way, safely, keeping others safe and myself safe, but safe here also. Safe here also. I'm not going to create any reaction for something which is not in my control. And they will easily drive home today without creating the slightest irritation or abuse, only because they chose to do that. And that itself shows me that the power is mine. Now, when you reach home after this awareness, you are going to have that family member who's going to behave in their typical manner, which till yesterday you said is the cause of your irritation. And today, just choose another response. Just choose to respond in another way to that same person and the same behavior of that person. And very soon you will realize life is completely in my control. Situations are not in my control, but my responses are completely in my control. And now, once I know that they are in my control, second power I have is choose the right response. Choose the healthy response. My anger, my irritation, doesn't affect the other person. It's affecting me here. It's affecting me here. So once I know I am choosing the reaction, now I will choose the healthy ones. So make a little list, which are the healthy emotions and which are the unhealthy emotions. So it's stress here, it's calm and stability here, it's anger here, it's understanding, compassion, empathy here, it's comparison here, it's self-respect here, it's competition here, it's blessings for people who do well here, it's fear, it's faith, it's worry, it's care. But we are living through most of this side and we believed it was normal. But when we just sit in silence for 10 seconds, we'll say, no, no, this is not normal because it doesn't make me feel comfortable. Then I start my journey of using this side as far as possible. So I have shifted from living a life of automatic reaction to now again becoming aware that I have the option of another response. So my mind is going to start creating options. And then I take a decision and I gently bring it into action. Once I do this a few times, very soon, my sanskar will change. So I will change from irritation to being patient. I will change from getting hurt to being able to forgive and letting go. I will change my sanskar. So after a couple of months, this, which was coming in the auto mode in my reaction, will be replaced by this column coming in my auto mode as a response. It's only changing. This is called changing a lifestyle. This is called changing a habit. We're all used to changing external habits. Like when patients come to you, you ask them to change so many of their habits, right? Eating habits, what I'm eating, what time I'm eating, how I'm eating, my sleeping habit, my exercising. But it's a little incomplete till I add to that my thinking habit, my feeling habit, my speaking habit, my working habit. That together when it comes, then it's a lifestyle. Because life is here. When this life leaves, this is a dead body. It's a dead body. So this is the life. So I cannot just change external habits to shift to health. I will have to change internal habits, which we call sanskars. So let's keep aside everything we've read, everything we've heard, even keep aside what we are listening right now. Experiment for yourself. Do not decide before you experiment. Do not listen to the world who is saying they are the cause, they are the cause, they are. The social media is flooded with this. They are the cause, they are the cause. Personal responsibility. Just experiment. Even if you get the result once, you'll realize the truth. And then starts the journey of shifting from being a victim to the world to becoming a master of my life. And the truth is, when I start changing the way I respond, situations start changing. The health of my body starts changing. My relationships start changing because it's a spiritual law. In Hindi, it's called Sankalp se Srishti, which means the thoughts create my world. So my world of emotional health, mental health, physical health, social health, professional health, environmental health is created here. And if I say this is not in my control, then nothing is in my control after that. Everything goes. So this is the control room. And I'm trying to correct everything outside. And I'm not taking out those few minutes to go to the control room. So keep aside today everything you've heard, read, believed, and just experiment. And you'll see the truth. In your first response itself, you'll see the truth. And you will realize I was living like a life of blaming people. That itself is a weakness. Blaming the world for how I'm feeling is a disempowerment.
Well, thank you, sister. It keeps coming back to that beautiful phrase that you mentioned a couple of times to me yesterday and even before when we met in Delhi about how we need to take power out of situations that control us. And it's just coming down to that. There is traffic, but I'm giving my power away to something that I cannot control. I've got the disease. I'm giving power away to what I cannot control instead of channeling it into what can I do now by changing that thought. And if I had to, you know, move this into the field of Western science, where talking about the subconscious mind and the conscious mind. It seems to be exactly that. I'm running from a program, you know, out of reaction. So by overriding it, by doing a new action or a new thought, I'm changing the program. It comes down to that.
So the conscious mind is my thoughts. The subconscious mind is my sanskar, which means what has become my habit. So I operate out of the subconscious mind, but I have the power to change that sanskar, which I have embedded in the subconscious, by changing my thoughts on a conscious level. For example, my morning habit is to have a cup of coffee, let's say, and I'm living out of that habit. Okay, so I wouldn't create options every morning. Should I have tea? Should I have coffee? I don't create options. No, I will just get up and I will start having my morning cup of coffee. To reaching a stage where I say, I cannot live without my morning cup of coffee. Now, that's the stage where people have reached, where now it's not just a decision, it's an addiction. It's become a dependency. And then someday someone tells them it's not very healthy to have on an empty stomach early morning a cup of coffee. Till now, they had not thought about it. So the mind was not creating options. The intellect was not taking a decision. The sanskar, which was in the subconscious, was taking that cup of coffee every single day for last 20, 30 years and would have continued to do it for a lifetime. Fresh information. So I need information to change my thoughts, because otherwise people say how to change thoughts. So a fresh piece of information, maybe your video, maybe an article says, experiment with something else. This is not the healthiest option. So I allow my mind now to again open options. So if not coffee, then what? So then my mind will study and then I will say, okay, lemon water, coconut water, so many other options. So that loop, which is there, the circle, the auto process is mind, decision, impression, sanskar. Mind, decision, impression. I again activate the mind. This is called a life of awareness. You know what spirituality says? Live a life of awareness. Don't live in the auto mode, which means don't live through sanskars. Create awareness of thoughts. So fresh information, I will again create thoughts. Okay, lemon water, coconut water. And my mind says, okay, I'll have coconut water tomorrow. Take it. Now, when I take a decision, I will have coconut water tomorrow. It's not going to be the simplest thing for me tomorrow. First and foremost, a lot of people around me will say, oh, you won't be able to do without your coffee tomorrow. Your head will pain. We have a meeting. We get so much advice from everybody around us. They are good wishes for us because they know we are a victim of that addiction, that dependency. My mind will also say, what if? So the few days of transition have to have determination. And I say, no, tomorrow I'm going to have coconut water. Let's see what happens. So I take that decision. I have coconut water. It feels good, but of course I crave for my coffee. Next day, again, the mind creates thoughts. Do you still want to continue with coconut water? Coffee is comfortable. It's not bad. The whole world is having it. One cup, all those options will come. And my intellect the next day again says, no, coconut water. So I have to go through that transition of at least 5 to 10 days to overcome the withdrawal symptom of a habit. And by then I start seeing the comfort that my new habit is giving me. And then I transition into the habit of coconut water. And after that, I will not be creating options every morning. What should I have drink? Coconut water would have become my habit. So it's very simple transition of a few days, whether it's from coffee to coconut water, or whether it's from anger to respect and compassion. This will take a little more time, but the method is exactly the same. The method is the same, external or internal habits. The equation and the model is just the same. So today, if you had to say, I'm going to get my work done without anger, first 5 people around you will say, it's not possible. Nobody does work if you don't get angry. You will have to be a little, you know, all that advice you will get. Say, no, I'm going to try this out. I'm going to experiment. First day, everyone around you might not respond. Okay, she's just said it very sweetly. We can do it later. Use your determination for at least 10, 15 days to see the result first in your life. Later on, we'll see the result in other people's lives. And that's it. Very soon, we are going to shift from that reactive mode, uncomfortable, bitter here, uneasy here, uneasy here, and most important, relationships. No, relationships are also getting affected because of our reactions. And now, since the time we have messages and all, we don't even have to wait to meet the other person to react. We just keep writing such strong words to each other. And we create so much conflict over trivial matters because now I'm addicted to that habit. Now it's an addiction. And I don't even say I am creating it. We say it just happens. So it's an addiction. It's a dependency. But any sanskar, however strong and however old it may be, we have the power to change any sanskar. And to remember what we discussed last time, seven sanskars are my original nature. It's the nature of every soul. So peace, purity, power, love, happiness, wisdom, and bliss. When I remember that, I am aware I don't have to create a sanskar of peace. I have the sanskar of peace. I just have to use it in action. So it's like the playlist on our phone, you know. We've been using a few songs and so they are top on my playlist, but the other ones are there. I don't have to record new songs. It's there. I just have to activate it and very soon my playlist will change.
Oh, that's a beautiful example. That's a beautiful example, sister. Sister, so I just wanted to repeat that. So one is there's the mind. The intellect is me deciding that, hey, I want to cut down on sugar, for example, right? And the thought process is what tells, you know, what keeps telling us that, hey, you know, it'll battle with us. Why to do it? It's okay in moderation and stuff like that. So that's the whole cycle that we need to embed in us.
But the cycle will break with information, like what you share with us about health. It's information you're giving us, right? So once you give information, I will listen to your video, take that information and allow my mind to create options. So information is playing a very important role. So now what has happened since the time we have 24/7 content? No, we are flooded with information. So to change my thoughts, I have to take care of the kind of content I consume because that's my information. So that content is largely responsible for, not the content, but my consumption of content is largely responsible for the kind of thoughts I'm creating and the kind of sanskar. So information is the food. It's that emotional diet.
I think I'm going to apply this on myself because I remember the first time we met in Delhi on stage and you told me, Luke, have you ever tried being vegetarian? And I said, I'm vegetarian some days and some days I'm not. And you said, why don't you give it a shot? So I think what I'm going to do now is take that as information. I know the pros, everything of it. So if I'm using my own personal example, this is information. There's a desire to experiment, self-realization. I've never done a month of vegetarian. So I'm taking information. I know my options. How's my diet going to change? How am I going to prepare my meals? How am I going to keep my protein in place? I'm working with that information and options. And now I just start doing it one day at a time. And each day that I do it, the impression in my subconscious mind will start to get stronger and stronger because I get it. So I'm actually going to do this, sister. I'm going to do this from January. I have quite a bit of travel, not an excuse, but I do want to, I feel committed to try this from January. So I think I'm going to use the same process and try to kind of make it easy for me to do that. So sister, I think since you brought up the word addiction, we can end it. We can end it with that. Addiction to social media, addiction to mindless sex and pleasure, to drugs, sugar, salt. You know, you've actually brought a little change, a lot of change in me right now because we are trained scientifically that when people crave sugar, the first thing immediately, while it is behavioral, it's available everywhere, we look at the gut because you have poor gut health, you're craving sugar. But now I'm also seeing something that we're strengthening the program, the sanskara in our mind every time we do it, thinking it's my gut, it's my bacteria, but maybe it's that, but it's also the mind. So I love what
but
you said. It's lifestyle.
But the gut is also getting affected because of the thought that I'm creating.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. I like that. So sister, with all the addiction happening, and I'm sure there are people in the audience right now and who will also hear this later, addiction to pornography, addiction to anything, even addiction to too much of partying, too much of good stuff. Do we use the same model, no matter what the addiction is? Of course, sometimes people need rehab depending on how it's affecting them, how bad it is. But we use the same model for this.
Same model.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you, sister. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful 25 minutes of just absolute bliss. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we jump straight into the second one? Would you like to have some water or something? You good?
No. I'm fine.
Okay. Great. Sister, thank you once again for your time. I love starting my mornings off this way. So much to learn from you. And while I learn, I'm also making a conscious, aware effort to take what I need to apply and making it part of my life. You know, I'm definitely using your model of changing the program in my mind because, you know, you are right. When I get into arguments and fights, now that I look back, I did my introspection after we spoke in the previous topic about it because I did have a difficult argument, in fact, about 48 hours ago. And when I look at that, no matter where I'm right or where I'm wrong, I was acting out of my program, the program that I've built for years. You know, using defense, using blame, using power, using everything, you know. So I really, really think that self-realization that you keep teaching us about, that, hey, we've learned something, now practice it. Now the lesson becomes so much more solid. It just doesn't stay a lesson or an Instagram reel or a video. It's become part of our life. So thank you for that, sister. Thank you for that. Today, I want to talk about something that even you keep bringing up. When we look around, relationships are breaking down. It doesn't have to just be marriage. It could be people falling in love. It could be relationships between colleagues, even the best of friends. I remember when my dad was living, he would always tell us that, you know, oh, you have so many friends. It's great. We would take friends home. And over time, he would say, great, it's good you have friends. But remember, familiarity breeds contempt. You have to make sure that there are certain boundaries. And today we see that happening. The best of friends can become bitter overnight, creating stress. And the same thing with lovers, relationships between kids, parents, kids telling parents, I hate you. Parents telling kids, I did everything and I loved you so much. And where is this conflict arising from based on your experience? Because I know you talk around the world and I think I know what your answer is going to be. It's the model, but I would love for you to kind of explain to us, where can we start? Right now, we're in a difficult relationship. It could be marriage, could be work. Where does it start? Number one, why is it happening? Number two, what can we do, sister?
So the relationship is not between a role and a role. The relationship is between a soul and another soul. So it doesn't matter whether it's parent-child or it's husband-wife or it's friends. It's two minds which are in a relationship. They are these two souls which are in a relationship. If even one out of the two souls is emotionally healthy, that relationship will remain comfortable. If both are emotionally strong, relationship is smooth. But if both are emotionally depleted, then conflict is natural to be happen. But it's natural it will happen. So what would mean an emotionally strong, emotionally average, and emotionally depleted? So if throughout the day I'm living my life with this left column list of stress, anger, irritation, impatience, hurt, hatred, intolerance, fear, comparison, competition. So see what is creating here throughout the day. What vibrations am I creating here? I am lowering my emotional fitness levels. So my emotional stamina is getting lowered because I'm creating uncomfortable emotions. So if I visualize this like a little battery here, what am I creating throughout the day? So if I create these uncomfortable emotions, battery gets discharged. If I'm just normal, not creating uncomfortable emotions, not creating very energized feelings also, battery will remain where it is, which means mundane thoughts. I have to go to work. I have to have my breakfast. Neither negative, nor positive, just neutral. So battery will remain where battery is. But if I create forgiveness, if I create acceptance, if I create patience, this battery gets energized. So now visualize two batteries which come into an interaction. Okay. So where is their energy level? So if both are here, not in their best of emotional health, then their ability to tolerate, ability to keep quiet when one is reacting, ability to finish it off quickly here and let go, ability to release the past, they don't have the power. They don't have the power because they are not exercising that fitness level every day. So, for example, someone is going to the gym daily. They are raising their physical fitness level. No, I can see them lift all those weights. I've never done that. So I'm not going to be able to lift even 1/100th of what they're trying to lift. But because they are working on that. So anything that I work on, I will be able to lift my fitness levels. But if I'm not working on that, it should remain where it is. But our lifestyle today, especially with content consumption, is not allowing our fitness levels to remain where it is. It is not allowing that to remain where it is because I'm consuming so much of junk diet here. So I have more or less stopped consuming healthy diet for the mind, but I'm consuming a lot of junk. So I'm not going to remain where I am. Every year, my emotional fitness levels are going to go lower. I'm consuming 10 episodes of a series in a day. I'm saying binge watching. I have to talk to everybody at the party tonight of the series that otherwise I'll be left out. I haven't watched what everybody has. So I will sit there addicted, consuming all that. Then, of course, all this addiction of consuming content. This is diet. If someone had to just de-addict themselves from content consumption, they will see their fitness levels going here. And when that happens, everything will start falling into place. So to remember that sankalp se srishti, thoughts create my world, everything will start falling into place if I only raise these fitness levels. So what we suggest to people is one, restrict content consumption. Second, at least 10, 15 minutes on a daily basis, consume healthy content. Consume healthy content. So this content in the name of entertainment, what I'm consuming, has a lot of uncomfortable emotions. If I consume spiritual content, content which is made to make my lifestyle healthy, then that content is beginning the thoughts of acceptance, of adjustment, of tolerance, of letting go, of gratitude. It is creating, it that information is going into me every single day. And I don't have to do anything. It's like you teach us just eat right. Once I've eaten right, I don't go and check what's happening in my gut and how is it getting digested. I just have to choose to eat right. My body will do the rest. Similarly, I have to choose to consume right. That's my emotional diet. If I consume right here, the rest of the things will get processed right. But if I consume unhealthy here, then try however hard, I cannot shift to the healthy side of emotions because I'm consuming hours and hours of it. Hours and hours. So if someone had to draw a graph of the last 25, 30 years, so I think 25 years back or 30 years back was the first television. And the first television started with, one episode a week. So that's how we started our content consumption in India. And that too, one episode was more pure content. Families could sit together, talk about family values, and that's what it was teaching us. Now it's somebody's business, so they won't keep it to one episode a week. So they made it a five episode a week. Then it's again, they saw people getting addicted to it. So then it became daily. Then they gave us the option that you can record it and you can watch it whenever you want. And then they gave it to us on the phone. So that's it. That's how the graph has been for content. And then came, of course, social media and all these OTT platforms. So draw a graph of content, and along with that, directly proportionate, you will see the graph of emotional, mental, physical health, and relationships directly. So 25, 30 years back, when we were in school, we didn't have the word stress in emotions, it was only in physics. The only word we would say is a little tensed one day before the exam and one day before the result, and that's it. The rest of the day is not even that. We grew up in an era where people used to say student life is the best life, childhood, carefree life. Today, they are talking about depression, they're saying anxiety attack, panic attack, medication before an exam. So it's time to think if a child cannot handle exam. How is that child going to handle professional pressures, relationship pressures? Just will not be able to. But addressing the root. So if somebody had to experiment with restricting content, adding at least 10, 15 minutes of healthy content, do that for 1 month, and they will start seeing their relationships change. It's 100% guarantee. Anybody can do this. We don't have to do anything here to heal a relationship. I just have to do a little cleansing here. And the vibrations that I radiate to people will change. The way I will respond in a situation will change. Everything will change. And we don't have to wait for the other person to change. It takes only one person to create a relationship. It only takes one person to create a relationship. If I've seen when we started this awakening program, earlier it was only on television. There was no social media. So it would come at, 25 minutes a day. And people started watching it religiously because it was more like a study. So there were people who would sit with a notebook and pen and they would write. For us, it just started. I mean, we hadn't even thought that that's all the change that it can create in people. For me, I believed people should come to the center, learn meditation, do all this. Only then there can be any change, because that's what I had experienced. And then after a year or two, when I started traveling, I started meeting people saying, we were on the verge of divorce, but we are perfectly back together. I was in depression. Now I'm fine. And I even met a few people who said, I was contemplating suicide. And I was like, just sitting at home and watching TV. That's it. I said, huh? Honestly, I couldn't believe this is possible. That sitting at home and just watching TV, you cannot create so much change. But then I met so many people who had created so much change. And that's when I said, without coming to the center, without meditating, without even, meeting like-minded people, just sitting at home watching TV. But then that awakened me to the understanding of the power of media on the mind. That's the power of media on the mind. Remember, you and me were in Delhi that day and we met that lady and she told you that my sister saved herself. How? She didn't meet you. She's not met you, but just that power of media. And that was the beginning. So then I said, if 25 minutes of positive content can bring people out of those who were contemplating divorce, those who were depressed, those who were on the verge, if 25 minutes only in the day can bring people out of this, then hours of the opposite content can take people into it. That's certain. It can take people into it. So it's experience of thousands, millions actually. So people only need to change content. Everything else, even our body gets affected by the content we consume. So when you say all these gut issues, it's so much here because you teach us, no, mind and gut is connected. So if my mind is flooded with all this that I'm consuming, my gut would take. So even if I have the best diet which you give me, but if I don't take care of the diet of the mind, I still don't get the best results. It's still, okay, today it's a little better. Tomorrow again, I go back to the same thing. So as a part of diet, of lifestyle, people will have to add emotional diet with their physical diet. Otherwise, it's incomplete. It's a little difficult to achieve what we want to achieve. So relationships are here. And most important, relationships are in the way we think. It's not just in what we speak and how we behave. That's another thing that we've learned to do, that I can be politically correct in my words and behavior, but within, I'm holding on to my grudges, holding on to my judgmental thinking. That's vibrations that reaching people, and it creates a very fragile foundation of my relationship. And like you said, children saying to their parents, I hate you. This is all vocabulary they have consumed. Remember when we were in kindergarten, or we've seen so many children, when they started going to school, their vocabulary changed. And their parents would say, from where is this learned, this line? How is they speaking this language? Somebody said, they've started going to school. So which means when I am colored by company, my vocabulary will start changing. Now that company is 24/7 with them in their pocket. So it's all coming from them, largely responsible.
Oh, sister, thank you for that. Sister, I need to, tell you that, yes, absolutely, media has absolutely changed away because I'll start off with a little bit of a story. You know, about 13 years ago, I used to travel to New York almost every 3 to 4 months to see patients. I didn't have money at that point, but I had a beautiful family in New Jersey who would make sure they picked me up from the airport, take me to their home. And then I remember Sonal and her husband would give me a bus pass to go to New York, see my patients and come back. They looked after me. And on the weekends, since I was all alone, they would take me for drives. And they were listening to this one recording, many recordings, which was you. And they would keep playing it in the car, listening to you, listening to you. Then one day I asked Sonal, I said, you know, why do you listen so much to this? She's saying, that's my healing. That's my healing every single day. And from then till now, when I look back, you know, you were influencing people in a different country, 16 hours away by flight. And today our patients listen to you. And I call your videos natural chemotherapy because they listen to it before chemo, some of them during chemo, some after. So I really, really believe that energy doesn't have to be just in front of a person. But, you know, I think energy can travel through technology and screen. And I think that's the most beautiful thing. I really, yes.
Can we have this incident again? Because it was, the internet was stuck.
Oh, okay, okay.
Just this incident.
All right,
fine. You were flying to New Jersey at the...
Okay, okay. So that was from my heart, but it can come out again because it's from my heart. Yeah, sister, I just have to repeat to New Jersey, right? So, sister, you know, I do want to talk about a story which touched my life about 13 years ago, which involves you indirectly at that point, today directly. I used to travel to New York very often 13 years ago. I was starting off my career to see patients, and I didn't have a lot of money. New York is a very expensive city back then and now. But I was helping this lady and her family with health. They were so gracious to me. They would pick me up from the airport, let me live with them in New Jersey. The husband would give me a bus pass to New York every day. See your patients, come back and live with us. So I didn't have to stay in a hotel. And on the weekend, since I was alone, they would make sure, they would drive me around, show me around the place. And in the car, Sona was her name, she would be listening to your talks. This is 13 years ago. She would be listening to your recordings and, you know, and I asked her, she's saying, healing. She said, I have a great life, but I also struggle with my emotions. I struggle with my children are growing up, you know, they'll be independent. And she found healing in your teachings back then. And this was in the United States of America with you probably sitting in India. And from then till now, you know, you talk about your impact through media. We feel it. We feel it. And the point is, I can say this because I call your recordings that our patients listen to as natural chemotherapy, because they listen to it before their chemo, they listen to it during their chemo, and they listen to it after their chemo to just break down fear, which you can't motivate fear out of a person. No one can. I just feel, like you said, when the program then starts to change because of powerful words and knowledge and wisdom that you share and divine energy, I think that's it. So I do want to tell, we feel your energy through the screen. I mean, I feel all the more happier when I'm with you face to face. I do also remember, and I have to state this, the first time we met on stage for some award ceremony, and I had two or three of my team members, and no matter how busy you were and people were around, you gave them time. And they always say that. She spoke to me. She asked about me. She asked me how I handle difficult patients. And you had such a genuine conversation. And I think these things are so divine and so beautiful. So I like always, I want to appreciate you for everything that you do, every session that you know, we hear from you on social media, face-to-face, or even here. It's just something new all the time. It's like, I think if we keep listening, the program's going to change automatically, you know, but thank you, sister. Thank you so much again for such a beautiful session and for your time.
Thank you so much.
Stay tuned for more. We're going to continue our journey, learning, sharing, and evolving.